This is the Everything EV Podcast by EV Powered.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Everything EV Podcast, a weekly show that brings you the latest news, views and opinions from every corner of the EV industry. I'm your host, Charlie Atkinson, and in these episodes we'll be discussing everything to do with electric travel, so whether it be cars, bikes, boats or even planes, we'll have it covered. We'll also be speaking to people from within the industry to get their views on the EV space, as well as other features such as electric car reviews, electric motorsport coverage, and much, much more along the way. This podcast is available on all streaming platforms, so be sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from to receive every single episode as soon as it's released. And please do go back and check out all our other episodes too. This week, I'm joined by George Furman, the founder of Women Drive Electric. George created the Women Drive Electric platform to provide a safe environment for women EV drivers or women that want to find out more about electric vehicles. In this podcast, George will share the inspiration behind the platform, the challenges women face when it comes to electric vehicles, and what more can be done to encourage women to get behind the wheel of an EV. George, thanks for joining us today, and it's great to have you on the podcast, first of all. Now, we've got loads to talk about when it comes to Women Drive Electric, but I just wanted to start with the story of the platform and what initially inspired you to create Women Drive Electric.
So I'm actually a cabin crew by trade. I spent 20 odd years in the sky and travel before that. But my husband is Adam Furman, and he has EV body shops, which we started just in the middle of lockdown, which wasn't the best idea, but it's worked out luckily. And that's concentrating on fixing electric vehicles. So our premises are completely EV ready, and so are our boys. They're all trained up to level 3. So we have a fleet of like-for-like vehicles. So if you've got your car in with us, then you would get something within that same insurance group, but also an EV. We don't expect you, once you've made the change, to then go back to having an ICE vehicle. So I was forced into EVs, and I remember ringing him. I was in a Model X that he'd left me, and I just said, what do I do with this? I had no idea. And I christened it by leaving the village at about 80 mile an hour, took my foot off then when I panicked and did virtually an emergency stop. And that was my kind of baptism of fire into EVs. But 15 minutes later, I was in love with it. And to be fair, a Model X is still my favorite. I love the doors. It's great for my boys. And I was, the more and more I drove different cars, the more I thought, oh, these are so good. They're good for, I don't have to go to a petrol station anymore. That my boys love them. Even when we're in a Tesla, they shout Tesla when they see one. So it's their future as well. And I spoke to lots of people and they were like, oh no, batteries, it's too expensive, hydrogen, all these conversations. So I looked into Facebook to kind of share and learn, and I found it very misogynistic and rude. So Women Drive Electric was born. I started my own group really, because I didn't like any of the others. And we've grown now. It was just me and a couple of mates whose husbands had forced them into EVs that they didn't like at the time. And now we're at just on 1,300 women. We haven't advertised. They've all come to us. And we've got this cracking community that, one thing that I've done, I really love LinkedIn. It's become my new Facebook, my Instagram. I absolutely adore LinkedIn. And I reached out to lots of industry females and asked them to come in the group early on. So people like Jill Noel of LV Electrics, she came on board. She was like my 11th member. And that made a massive difference, because then she was talking about us in the industry. So we've got this really nice balance of female consumers who are either in EVs looking to get one, or maybe company car, or fleet managers. We've got lots of fleet managers. A really nice community where there's help there, but it's actual real help. It's actual real factual information. It's not speculation. And we meet up, and yeah, it's, and then I've kind of got more involved in LinkedIn. I've got more involved with the EV industry and met some, it's such a nice warm group of people. I just love it. And the body shop's going from strength to strength. So I kind of do both. I work within the body shop, and I also do Women Drive Electric, and lots of other things as well, but I just got a big passion for it.
Yeah. So what is the overall sort of mission of Women Drive Electric? I know that it's probably a common tale of other women like yourself that were sort of forced into electric vehicles and trying to figure out, and so you've sort of had this sort of common goal as such, but now, as you said, it's grown. Now you've got over 1,300 members, and like you said, you meet up. What is now the sort of the purpose and the mission of the group?
I mean, it's expanded. Before, it was just to help out, really. And as I say, because I enjoyed the journey, I was trying to help the journey of discovery, make it better for other women, and also myth bust and say, you know, you can charge in the rain, all these random questions that come up, which are perfectly legitimate. And this is a really safe place. We provide a safe place to ask that. You're not going to get hassled. You're not going to get a rude remark back if you do ask a question that you may feel is silly. But our main thing, as I say, is not only to help women on the discovery of the EV life, but changing the record a little bit from the manufacturers and the dealerships. It's still, unfortunately, to this day, quite difficult for a woman to walk into a dealership on her own and get good service, and have a lot of the dealerships the staff aren't EV trained. They don't want to sell the EVs, and because they don't like them, and then they don't suggest them. And the first question is, have you got a home charger? No. Okay, then we'll don't look at an EV. That's kind of it. And it shouldn't be that way. And there's lots of stigmatism among some of the bigger brands of how they treat women in that kind of environment. So what we're trying to do is, we're kind of in the middle. We've got the EV industry, and then we've got the consumers, and we're trying to marry the two to make it work, so that it isn't as overwhelming. I mean, it's overwhelming anyway, if you get put into an EV, especially if it wasn't by choice. You've got to consider a home charger, then you've got public charging, you hear all these horror stories. So we're there to kind of talk you through it, help you with salary sacrifice, etc. Facebook, for the future, we can't reach everybody. Lots of the youngsters, so to speak, are not on Facebook anymore. It's not a platform that they use. So we are expanding at the moment. We are crowdfunding to have a website. And that website will have the car as the centric point of it, but then everything else that comes with that car, solar panels, insurance, vehicle recovery, such as the AA and the RAC. Even if you've already got your car, you still need some of those things. You might move house, or your insurance runs out if you got it free with your car for the first 3 years. So we're going to have all that information in there, and all of our videos, etc., and information will all be women centric. So we're going to use people like Alex from Auto Trader. We're going to use Jess Shanahan from Jet Social, who does her own videos. So a lot of the videos will be for women, by women as well.
Yeah, amazing. I just wanted to go back to, obviously, when you talk about your sort of perspective as a woman going into showrooms and things like that, and how overwhelming that can be. Obviously, I'm going to have no idea about what that's like, obviously, because I'm a white male, like probably middle class, if you want to call me that. So I have probably a completely different experience to what you have. So I was just wondering if you could share a bit of an insight into what that is actually like, because I'm well aware, even if you go through all the past episodes in our podcast, I'm very, very aware that a lot of the guests we've had on are white men. And so I'm assuming that a lot of our listeners are also white men or men or middle class men. So I was just wondering, for all our other listeners that can't quite relate to that or don't understand your perspective for things like that, if you could just give us a bit of an insight into what that is actually like and how intimidating that can be.
I mean, I'm quite a confident person. Whether I am inside is a different story, but outwards, I've got no problem with walking in. So I do quite a few little surveys of my own. So for an example, I went into a large, popular dealership of a very big brand of cars that have got an electric line. And I walked in, and there was two women on reception, and they both said, "Hi, how are you?" And I said, "Fine." And they said, "Oh, how can we help?" I said, I turned up in one of their vehicles as well, an electric vehicle of that manufacturer outside. I said what I was interested in seeing. And they said, "Oh yeah, go upstairs, have a look. There's plenty of people up there to help you." And I went up there, and I had my two little boys with me, and I spent 15 minutes up there. I timed it on my phone. I spent 15 minutes, and we climbed in and out of the cars. I then approached somebody and said, "Can you open it up so that we can have a look inside? Because I want to look at car seat size and the dog size, etc." And he got the key out of his desk, and he zapped out the car and then just let me crack on. And so, as I say, after 15 minutes, and I dragged it out. I went and looked at the used cars, you know. I kind of gave them as much time as I could. And in the end, I gave up and I walked downstairs, and the two girls were like, oh, did you find what you were looking for? You know, it's so exciting. But and I was just like, what are you two doing down here? You should be up there because you two could have sold me one of those cars. And you did. And they didn't even talk to me. And the girls, they weren't that surprised, obviously. But so many things. Liz Allen recently did a podcast from Full Circle where they went to go and buy an electric car. Her husband doesn't even drive. And they talk to him the whole time. And she's like, no, I'm over here. It's going to be my car. I'm the one that driving it. I'm the one that's buying it. Talk to me. And in the end, she went to an independent EV specialist so that because she wasn't getting anywhere at the dealerships. We've got ladies, I mean, I could give you 100 examples from the Facebook page, being told to go home, bring back their brother, their dad, you know, a mate, because they don't talk to us. And it's such a shame that stigma is still happening. I mean, you can buy a car online now. I know during lockdown, lots of people were buying Teslas, for example. They were just buying them online. They didn't even have a test drive. So there are different ways. You don't have to go to a dealership. But one thing that's happening now, which is really exciting, is the Chinese brands that are coming across. They don't have this stigma. They don't have a slate to clean. They are, all of the adverts have got women in them. All of the adverts have got children in them. They've got families in them. They're not just going for the male, going down a beautiful Italian mountainside, you know, in a fast car. They're showing you, they've got dogs, it's raining. It's changing the landscape of selling. And women buy differently from men. Women don't look at some women do look at a brake horsepower, of course they do. But generally, we're looking, because the way that we are born, we're always looking at, is it good for the family? Is it good for shopping? Is it good for this? Does it work with my lifestyle? Whereas a man will go, I like that car, it goes fast, I'm going to have it regardless. It's a completely different list of priorities. So yeah, the Chinese brands like BYD, for example, are fantastic. Their videos have all got, every single one's got a woman in it, quite often at the wheel, which is really changing it. And BYD Southwest, for example, have got a dedicated phone line. If you would like a woman to call you back, or you can do it on the email, you can choose to have a female EV salesperson call you back. And oddly enough, when they trialed that, they had just as many men pick that option as women, which I found really interesting. But it's funny you say about the white males, because I had a BYD at the British Motor Show. They very kindly lent me a Dolphin for 4 days to kind of be a pull to talk about women drive electric. And stereotypically in my head, I saw it as a girly car, and the middle-aged white men were crawling all over it like ants. And I was wrong. Obviously I'm not very often wrong, but I'm joking. But I was wrong. I was really surprised by the people that were interested in the car, but they loved it. They loved the styling of it. They loved the fact that it's cheap and it's got 265 mile range. You can't go wrong. But my own stereotype was wrong. So we need to work at it from all angles.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know if this is a bit of a sweeping statement, but do you feel that the electric vehicle industry lends itself more to women? It's more appealing to women?
Because oh, completely.
I suppose, because when obviously when you're talking about how men buy differently to women, obviously, especially when you mentioned the Chinese brands and comparing it to the UK market, obviously the UK market has got such heritage and legacy of men love classic cars, and that we've built cars and developed cars here, and women have had no real part in that. Whereas when it comes to the electric vehicle industry, it's almost been, we've started from scratch really in a level playing field. So I can see you agreeing, but obviously, so do you find that the electric vehicle industry is more sort of accessible to women?
Completely. I mean, we have a joke on our page that one of the ladies said that her wallet had got smaller and so had her waistline, because she wasn't going to petrol stations and buying a ton of crisps and snacks and sweets and drinks for her kids and herself. I've never met a single woman that enjoys putting petrol in her car. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. So I don't mind charging. And it's weird because it gives me a bit of me time, especially obviously if I'm on my own. You have to be still and you have to not move. And it's great for, you know, catching up on correspondence, or sometimes just sitting there or listening to a podcast, or I know quite a few women that meditate when they're in the car and just have that time to refresh their minds and, you know, carry on with the rest of their day. But even back in the 1900s, when electric was first launched, it was all based at women. If you look at all the pictures, I've got lots of them on the Facebook page and on our Instagram, of, you know, women, they just got in the carriage and they pulled a handle and off they went. They charged it up overnight, exactly the same. It's unreal how the chargers really look the same as they did in 1910. They've just got pretty covers on them now. But Clara Ford, for example, Henry Ford's wife, she drove an electric car for 14 years, and it wasn't a Ford, it was a competitor's. And 14 years she drove an electric car, because she loved it, because you just get in it and go. And that's the same principle even now. It was cleaner, they had all the dresses in those days, and they pulled a little lever and off they went. And it is perfft for women. And I think women are much more, have much more sustainability in mind as well when they purchase things now, especially women with children, in the fact that, for example, my boys will probably never drive an ICE vehicle. They'll probably just go straight into EVs. And that's better for their future. It's better for, you know, asthma and things like that, and cleaning up our air. And as I said, I find it quite exciting. I sound ridiculous, but I think the EV industry is very exciting. There's so many new things coming, and the technology is going to take us so far to the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to touch on the fact that you said earlier, that you hate putting fuel in the car and that charging up is a completely different experience. But we've done a lot at EV Powered, and we've had Kate Tyrrell from ChargeSafe on the podcast before, and it sort of highlighted another side to charging for women, which again was something I'd never considered, about how sort of vulnerable women can be at charge points and how intimidating that can be. And that just completely blew my mind, because obviously, again, as a white male EV owner, that's something I don't even consider. But I remember playing that podcast and talking about that with my wife, and sort of asking, oh, how would you feel about that? She goes, oh, I just wouldn't do it. She goes, I wouldn't be brave. I just would completely avoid it. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that, really, and just sort of reopen that discussion, because we haven't spoken about the sort of accessibility and the safety of charge points on the podcast for a little while. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, your perspective, and just, I don't know if you have any personal experiences of how safe and sort of scary they can be at times.
It's funny you bring that up, actually, because I mean, we work very closely with Kate. When the website happens, then ChargeSafe will be a very big part of the website as well, and we're looking forward to working with Kate. I was actually at the charger the other day that started Kate's whole career in ChargeSafe, and it still doesn't work. I was gonna text her and say, I'm sitting at the one that started ChargeSafe, and it's still in a car park at the back of a leisure centre with nothing around but an empty tennis court. It's not lit. It's not got a canopy over it, so you get soaked. And they still, the chargers still don't work. And then it locked me to the car as well. So then I was literally stranded there. And it was a complete nightmare. Charge point safety is a massive issue. I'd much rather go to a large motorway charger, because I know that it's more than likely going to work and there's people around. I don't actually have a home charger, which is rare to have an EV business, but we can't. The way that our houses are laid out in the car park, it's impossible for us to have a home charger. At EV body shops, we've got 9 chargers there, so I can charge at work. But I do use public charging a lot, and it is a massive issue. Lots of people say, oh, what are you doing charging at night? But as I said to you at the beginning, I was cabin crew. If I still was cabin crew, I would have to charge at night sometimes, because if I'd got delayed down route or called out and I didn't have time to charge the car, I might get back and that battery will have depleted, and I might have to go and charge somewhere at 2 o'clock in the morning in Heathrow or somewhere around Gatwick. So it's the charge point operator's duty, I think. But a lot of that is changing now. The CCTV is coming. A lot of that's changing now. The CCTV is coming in. Companies like CTI have got fantastic setups with the roof and the solar, and, you know, permanent lighting, and, as I say, CCTV. So there are great changes. I mean, a roof for me is just a basic requisite, you know, a basic request, because all petrol stations have got a roof. So I don't know why we're getting chargers without roofs, because then when you're ringing them when the charge point doesn't work, your phone gets wet. You can't use your phone, which is what happened to me this time. But if somebody wants to hurt you or get the car, they're going to hurt you or get the car, whether you're at a petrol station or idle at traffic lights or charging a car. So you have to have your own awareness. But I think that, as I say, the charge point operators are doing fantastic work, especially with Kate. Kate is fundamental to making these changes. And yeah, you just have to be aware. I don't charge at night anymore, but you know, I'm in bed by nine at my age. So it's the news that going to bed early is the new Saturday night.
Honestly it is. Yeah. But it's one of those things as well. It's frustrating for me when people say, why do you charge at night? Why don't you just do this or that? Like that shouldn't be the answer. You should have the right and you should feel comfortable to charge at night. And like you said, it is the responsibility and the duty now on the charge point operators to create an environment where everyone feels safe to charge. So how have you seen, from that side of things, how have you seen the EV industry grow since you sort of first stepped foot in an electric vehicle to where you are today? Do you feel more comfortable now? Has enough been done, or is there still lots more that needs to be done?
There is still lots more that needs to be done, but certainly the infrastructure is just booming at the minute. People are still saying there's not enough. There's like 50 to 100 extra chargers coming online, you know, weekly, daily and weekly. Everywhere I go, you know, you can see construction if you go to a petrol station, or all sorts of little charging points are coming up. One thing that's changing a lot is the community charging. So people that are in flats or in communities of houses that don't have charging, they're getting together, approaching the council, and then having charges in where they all have their own little card, and they can use the charges within a parking area within the street. For example, that would be perfect for us, but we're the only ones in our block with an EV. But that will change, and initiatives like that from councils are making a massive difference. There was co-charger, for example, where you can borrow other people's chargers. We've got a couple with Ioniq 5 and a home charger half a mile away from us. And occasionally I've gone and topped up there and just used the co-charger app so that they, you know, get a little bit of money from it. And I've got enough charge to get myself to a fast charger. We're in a village, so the nearest charger is 5 miles away. Literally 5 miles away. There's nothing here. So co-charger for me in the village has been a great, you know, progress as well. But yeah, no, things are changing all the time. There's so many new businesses popping up. There's so many new initiatives. I think the government need to just, you know, sort themselves out. Even the advice that they give on .gov, it's old. They've got they're actually promoting some of the myths if you read what they've actually written, especially about accident repair and what you do with the battery, etc. It's not true. But when you read that, I wouldn't blame somebody for believing it when it's coming directly from the government.
Yeah. And so we've spoken about a lot of the different challenges that women face when it comes to electric vehicles, from the showrooms to the safety at charge points and things like that. But out of all of that, what would you say is the biggest priority? Or if to frame this another way, if you had sort of one wish for the EV industry as a woman in your position, what would it be? What would you like to see change or improved?
I'd like to be able to help women get a test drive, because once you've actually sat in one and driven it, that seals the deal. Most women that I know, or all women, that I don't think I've ever met a woman that's gone back to ICE. I've definitely had men that have gone back to ICE that I've met, but I've never known a woman have an electric vehicle and go back. And one of those things, one of the key factors is actually having a test drive. And that's why we need to change the relationship with the dealerships, so that they can get a test drive. One of the biggest problems at the minute is if you're going into a company car or you're having a salary sacrifice car, you can't get a test drive because the dealerships don't want to give you one, because they're not going to sell you the car directly. And that's a ridiculous problem to have, because you should be able to go and choose, you know, if I wanted to go and get a new foundation, I could go to lots of different shops and they'd all give me a little sample. So it should be the same with a test drive. It's such a massive amount of money to commit to. So that's one of the problems at the minute. But basically, my whole wish is to do drive days for women where there's a couple of different cars from a couple of different manufacturers. You can have a cup of coffee, you can have a chat, there's no pressure. But once you sit down and you actually try one, you love it. And then all of these other problems, you know, seem surmountable. It's fine. You'll deal with the home charger. You'll deal with this. You'll deal with that because you actually like and want the car. And so for me, that is the absolute main priority is test drives, because then the car sells itself after that.
Yeah, that's a nice little link into my final question, really, because I wanted to get your final message to a woman who might be listening to this podcast if they've never driven an electric vehicle before, or maybe a little bit skeptical. Like my wife, she won't drive my electric vehicle for some reason. She's scared of it. She thinks it's like, well, she thinks it's too big. She calls it a bus.
What have you got?
I drive a Mercedes EQA, but she's got a little she's got a little Fiat 500, and I'm telling her to just go and test drive a little electric Fiat 500. But yeah. she's really skeptical. So, what would be your message to my wife, Kaylee, who, yeah, like I said, is a little bit scared, a little bit unsure about electric vehicles? How would you convince her to finally get behind the wheel of one?
I'd just tell her to go for it. Honestly, it's such, they're so much fun to drive. They're so easy to drive. Even if you book her a little 500E, Fiat 500E test drive, and then everything's going to feel familiar. That's another way to do it, is if she tries her car. And lots of women I know have gone straight from a normal Mini into the electric Mini. And that's kind of a comforting way to do it. So I would suggest that. But yeah, once she's done it, she will completely change her mind. And there's nothing like being a mum and being at the lights and beating some boy racer in a Golf GTI. That's the best for me.
That's all for this episode. Many thanks for listening. And if you liked it, then please do check out all our other episodes. And be sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from, to make sure you get every single episode as soon as it's released. For daily news coverage, features and much more, you can also head over to evpowered.co.uk. Thanks once again for listening, and we'll see you on the very next episode of the Everything EV podcast.